the hills, down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine.
We're all alright, we're all alright.
MTG in quarantine podcast.
Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here today, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach Jero for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And did you know that I am a brand ambassador for Quiver Time products, and that you can get 10% off your order over at quivertime.com by utilizing the promo code MTGIQ in all lower caps? That is, again, that is MTGIQ for 10% off your order. Quiver Time is the greatest of all time in the card game industry for carrying cases, and have a bunch of products that you're going to love and use for many years. So definitely go on over to quivertime.com, utilize my promo code. Every purchase helps support the channel and is greatly appreciated. You can also go pick up your very own MTG and Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com for more information. You can find all of those links in the episode description below in my link tree. But anyway, with all that aside, let's move on to today's episode. So I honestly have not done one of these episodes in a long, long, long time. It used to be kind of a fixture, 2021, 2022, as I was really starting to get into figuring out what this show was going to be about, and I've kind of let it slide for the last, you know, year, year and a half or whatnot, but no more. We are bringing it back. We are bringing this segment back. So it's going to be a Noah Brewer, where I bring awesome folks from around the community on to just talk about their personal deck building philosophies, styles, and just kind of some of the cool stuff that they want to talk about. So without further ado, I would like to reintroduce a returning guest. It's been a while here, but a returning guest from at least the last year anyway, even though time seems to be slipping into the future, as the Steve Miller Band so famously put it. And I'm going to introduce Tyler from the Commander Paradise. Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. It's good to have you back on the show. You want to tell the good folks out there what you do and where they can find your content?
Yeah, I run a podcast called Commander Paradise with my friend Ryan. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. And we're starting to do more YouTube content as well. We're going to have some Brawl gameplay going up soon. And we have a couple like random deck techs and things on the YouTube channel as well. Just kind of casual Commander focused, no CDH content from us. We like CDH, but we're not experts, so we don't talk about it and embarrass ourselves. But yeah, that's basically it.
Well, I mean, who says I'm an expert at CDH, yet I make content about it? So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think you have to be an expert necessarily to make content, but I think that's kind of a blanket statement for all content creation out there. It's like, you just got to get started. You don't care at the beginning. Just get that foot in the door. Anyway, that is totally irrelevant to today's episode, because we're going to talk about all things you, how you build your decks, what is your philosophy, just kind of some of the cool stuff you do. I've honestly, it's been so long, listeners, that I have basically forgotten how I used to do these episodes. So I'm just going to kind of try to make my way through the best I can and hope that it turns out to be a very good episode and you all enjoy it. So without further ado, I would like to just start out here. So Tyler, when you start trying to build a brand new deck, are you the kind of person where you find a commander, let's say in like a pack or in previews or something, and say, hey, this is a really, really, really awesome commander, I want to build around it? Or are you the kind of person who says, I want to build XYZ type of deck, and then I'll find a commander for it later? Or is it kind of a mixture of the two? Go.
Probably a mixture, but I definitely lean towards liking a commander. There's been a couple times where I've been like, I wanted a life gain deck, so I made an Abzan life gain deck with Timna and Ikra Shiddiqui. And the commanders didn't really matter. I cared more about the colors because I wanted all the life gain stuff to be in one deck. But for the most part, I see a dude and I want to build around that dude because that dude's cool.
Okay. The Ikra Timna. You got some nice synergy right there. If you do cast your commanders, you can get some card draw, gain a bunch of life. I do have both of those partners in different partner pairings, but they're both fun to play. So I do understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, once you have figured out, you know, in most cases, your commander that you want to build around, take us through your philosophy for actually putting the 99 together. I mean, what is your go-to strategy for trying to figure out what you want to throw into that deck list and then probably having, like most people have, the problem of trying to cut 20 to 40 cards afterwards? How do you get that process started?
I always get on Scryfall. I know that's probably pretty typical, but like, just to hammer it home, that Scryfall is the greatest website ever made if you've ever been interested in Magic the Gathering. And just knowing how that website works and how, like, the wording on Magic cards work, like, actually, like, the, like, how they phrase the text boxes, you can get really specific on the wording of what you want in an effect, and you can find exactly the cards you need, and you can get some really, really weird, specific pieces that'll, like, be perfect for your commander, which is always really fun. And, trying to think if there's anything else. I don't really have, like, a rubric. Typically, for removal, I always go with the staples. So, like, I'll always put swords in a deck. I'll always put Toxic Deluge in a deck. I'll always put an offer you can't refuse, you know. So like the removal and interaction, I want it to be as cheap and efficient as possible. But then actual like the permanents that are on the battlefield, I like having them to be synergistic and weird. So like I definitely go away from staples in that kind of sense. Especially because my pod is that I like my play group I play with personally, they're much more lower power than average, so I have to power down my deck building process, because I'll start with like a Smothering Tithe in there, and I always have to be like, wait, that'll ruin games if that resolves, so I just take it out.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear that you are working with a determined measuring stick, I guess would be a good way to say it, that you're not just trying to brew into the void, right? You're trying of the nebulous quote unquote rando at the LGS, like, which is a really impossible. I mean, for as much as I talk about, I hate the power level discussion, numerical especially. I feel like trying to build to the average commander experience is also very difficult and very nebulous. And the fact that you have that yardstick, so to speak, to be able to work with, I think really definitely helps. It's not something that everyone has. I find myself kind of struggling with that sometimes and trying to figure out, you know, does this work? Is this too slow? Is this too optimized? And I think for you and for everyone who does have a play group out there, like back when I did have a regular play group that I play with all the time, it made things a lot easier for me. So I can definitely understand how it really helps you kind of figure out exactly what you're trying to do with the deck and also dictate some of your card choices too.
Yeah, like just stay away from fast mana, even Mana Crypts. Even Soul Ring, my playgroup, we banned Soul Ring and we don't
really interesting.
Yeah, we just banned it. And we never miss it because some games just no one draws their Soul Ring and it's just like that every single game.
Interesting, but and, I do like the philosophy though, is that you have put in that extra house rule based on a objectively good card and say that we don't need to throw this card in here because it does X, Y, Z. Obviously, I'm not going to go into the whole discourse about why people hate Soul Ring or love Soul Ring, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
That's not.
I think it should stay legal in the format for sure. But for our group and our meta and our games, because of how low power and slow our games are, it was like messing games up. So we just got rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you said that you kind of reach for some of the same staple cards, but you also try to find something a little bit different. I'm sure there aren't that many Timna, Ikra, Shiddiqui decks in existence out there, at least according to EDH Rec, which is unfortunately the only real source we have for this sort of information. So, I mean, as much as I want to say it's not really the end-all, be-all, it's kind of what you have. Okay, it's 1,000 decks, so, you know, a lot of other folks have definitely drank from the Timna Kool-Aid, so to speak, here.
Yes.
But it's definitely not the kind of deck you're normally going to see at the casual table. I think that's really what we see with a lot of, like, the two-color partners, especially the original, the OG partners, is that, a lot of times folks have really optimized these, but also if you're not optimizing them, you don't really see Timna a lot at a casual table. So it's just kind of interesting to see that. But anyway, beside the point there. So you've come up with your commander or your partners here in this case. You've gone to Scryfall. You know you're not going to be including Sol Ring. You're throwing in cheap interaction, but also trying to keep things kind of on the level with your play group. How do you try to, you know, finish up that deck list? What is kind of your process for cutting cards? It's because, you know, all of us end up with that exact same situation where we have a giant pile of cards sitting on the table or the floor or the desk, wherever. You're sleeping with your magic cards all over you in your bed at like 3 a.m. And it's like, why am I covering so many magic cards, you know? How do you try to come down to that 100 cards that you're the first 100 cards in that first draft that you make?
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I've been doing this for the last couple of months and it's made it so much easier. So once, because for me, it was always like the last like 5 or 6 cards, it was impossible to cut. So I just like shuffle the cards and I grab the top, whatever. So if it's like 104, I get the top 4 cards and they're gone. And then I just like, okay, that's the deck.
Interesting. That is actually the first time I've heard of something so brutally efficient, I guess. I mean, because, you know, a lot of us just really struggle to come up with that. But you're just like, no, if you're drawn, it's like you're getting the short end of the straw. Just get out.
Yeah. Interesting. Because I would, like, it's grueling. Like, it's, like, I feel it, like, in my chest. Like, trying to, like, pick a card out of, like, these. Like, all the cards are good at this point. So, just get rid of 5 of them. And then if a card, like, ends up sucking, just replace it with the one that's close, you know? It's like, sure. So I have a card draw spell, and it doesn't perform well. I'll swap it in with one of the 5 cards, you know?
Okay. All right, so now that we've had your 100 cards for your first draft, you've played a few games, what is your philosophy for making changes to the deck over time? I mean, we're going to assume that you're not going to tear this hypothetical deck apart after 1 or 2 games. We're going to say that you're going to try to give this deck some time, see if it's something you enjoy. What is your philosophy there? Are you the kind of person where if you have one bad experience with a card, you're just going to cut it, you're going to cut bait? Or are you going to wait till you've put in a significant number of games, I would say, to maybe make more of a batch change if you need to, or just to make one cut?
I think it depends. I'll definitely... if it's like the first game, and I would wait... like a couple games, but like if like, because sometimes you play a deck a couple times and you just don't see cards, and so maybe it's like the 5th time I've played the deck and then I finally see this card and it ends up sucking, I would swap it immediately.
Or anything that'd be like a non-bow, for instance, where you realize, hey, this is not going to work at all for what I'm trying to do. So,
oh yeah. Yeah, no, that would go right away.
Yeah, I feel like that right there is kind of the exception to my earlier questions. Like, if there's something that clearly doesn't work synergistically with your deck, it definitely makes it much easier to cut there. But again, hopefully you've already culled those cards, but you never know.
Yeah, sometimes you just read a card wrong.
Yeah.
I've definitely done that.
Yeah, or just, you know, situationally, it just doesn't do anything. Yeah, so anyway, we've really run through most of the episode right there already, so I'm gonna pretty much end up with the question that I always ask the guests on this kind of episode, and that is going to be, tell us about a deck that you really enjoy playing of yours.
Sure, let me pull it up. I got Moxfield pulled up so I can look at decks. I have this Pia Nalar Console of Revival deck that I think is so sweet. And she's really underrated. She has, like, I think less than 1,000 decks on EDH Rec last time I looked. It's Pia Nalar Console Revival, red and a white for a 2/3. She's from Aftermath, that Marching Machines Aftermath, that set that, like, didn't do well. But she's awesome. Yeah, she says, Thopters you control have haste, and whenever you play a land from exile or cast a spell from exile, create a 1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature token with flying.
Interesting. So it's kind of like the Faldorn Great Wolf's Herald, just in Boros colors. I approve.
Yes. Which is, I think it's just as good. I don't know if it's better. Faldorn is really good, but she is just as good. Once she's 2 mana, so she always comes out on turn 2. And Boros gets you some really interesting cards for the exile archetype. You get Commander Liara Poitier from Baldur's Gate.
Yep, had a deck around that one 1 point before I started really having the worst luck ripping cards off the top. But yes, I remember that.
That's part of why I like this deck so much. Is some, like, it's very like the impulse draw thing. Sometimes you just either you get the nuts and it's like this the craziest, like, combination of cards, and you're just like bam 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 bam, here's like 15 thought
land is what always happened to me.
Or it's land.
I've already used my land drop. Nice.
That's what's nice about Pia, is that you get a Thopter for playing lands too. Mm-hmm. It's not just casting spells, which is nice. Or Niali, Sun's Vanguard, two in a Boros. Attacking tokens you control have double strike, and then whenever one or more tokens you control attack a player, exile the top card of your library. During any turn you attacked with the token, you may play that card. So it gives all your Thopters double strike, which is a clock, because you're going to have so many Thopters. Mm-hmm. And then it just gives you more gas. And there, you can cast them anytime you attacked with a token. So you don't lose them. They just sit there forever. So you just get this, like, pool of cards. And it can be, like, public knowledge. Like, I had, like, a Swords of Plowshares in the Niali zone in the last time I played it, and, like, it kept people away, because there's, like, a big, there's, like, a Slowgurk in front of me, and they really wanted to attack me, and they're like, well, I got a Swords here, or do you have a counter spell? And it never got swung at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, again, that's one of the big things about EDH, is those quote-unquote hidden zones, or maybe not so hidden, can mm-hmm. usually be a deterrent for someone trying to do, just as much as a Death Touch blocker can be annoying. It's same thing there. So, yeah, it definitely sounds like a really fun little deck right there. I'm going to shift gears only slightly for your last question here, Tyler, and that is going to be talking about a deck you are building or have built recently that you really enjoy and you want to talk about.
I'm in the process of building another Timna deck, actually, because I did take apart that life gain deck. It was a little clunky. So now we're doing Timna and Bruce Tarl. It's a Mardu aggro deck. So it's kind of like the Ishin style deck, where it's just like turn dudes sideways. But I really want Timna in the command zone, because Timna draws a bunch of cards. And so, like, Timna, and I want this Mardu aggro thing. So I bought the Caesar Precon from Fallout, and I took some of the cards out from that. Have you seen that Rose card? I think that's what it's called.
I don't think so.
Card is insane. Yes, Rose Cutthroat Raider. If you don't have one of these cards, you should buy one, because I think it's busted. 2 red first strike with raid. At the end of combat on your turn, if you attack this turn, create a junk token for each opponent you attacked. The junk token is like a treasure that you can just tap and sacrifice. And then it exiles the top card of your library. You can cast it.
Okay.
And then whenever you sacrifice a junk, you add a red.
Huh.
So it's like Timna and Professional Facebreaker and, like, Burgi. So a bunch of stuff like that. And then Agent of the Shadow Thieves is like a background. Says commander creatures you own have whenever this creature attacks a player, if no opponent has more life than that player, put a +1/+1 counter on it, and it gains death touch and indestructible. So it makes Timna bigger, it makes Bruce Tarl bigger, makes them really hard to block, draw more cards, stuff like that. Should be pretty fun.
Yeah, and Bruce Tarl will also give one of your creatures double strike at the beginning of every turn, so that's also important.
Yes.
Especially for Timna, because Timna is ridiculously frail late in the mid-late game, unfortunately.
Yes. So it is... That's the problem I'm kind of trying to solve, is like, how do I get flyers, or how do I get, like, attackers in? So I'm trying to find more evasive stuff. So stuff with flying, or unblockable, like Changeling Outcast, is definitely going to go in here.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the Triumphant Adventurer?
No, I have not.
This card's awesome. Every time I've played it, I played it in Standard a couple times, and it's really fun. It's white and a black for a 1/1 with Death Touch. As long as it's your turn, it has first strike, so it'll kill whatever. It'll always attack, and then whenever it attacks, venture into the dungeon.
Okay, so you get some dungeon synergies. Nice.
A little bit, but mostly he's just a really good attacker.
Uh-huh.
Because it's first strike death touch, which is like the scariest keyword in the world.
Yeah, I mean, behind Flample, obviously, but...
Yeah, Flample is scary.
Yeah, that is why Zatulpa is always so good. Flample is good.
Yes.
Zatulpa's
still good. I know it's like kind of the meme, but that card is insane. Every time there's a Zatulpa on the field, everyone gets scared. I run it in a couple decks, and it's still really good.
Yes, it just, you have to make sure Zatulpa doesn't get nuked from the sky, I think is the thing, especially if you're not running colors that can easily ramp.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but still, a 4/8 double strike with ridiculous number of keywords is pretty good. I'm just going to say that. But anyway, I think we've reached the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Tyler, for taking the time to talk with me today. It was awesome having you on again and hearing about your deck building style. I definitely heard some things that I do not believe have been brought up on this episode series before. So it was very interesting to hear that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. And again, where can people find the Commander Paradise?
We're on Twitter at Command Paradise. We're on TikTok at Command Paradise. And then... Commander Paradise on YouTube and any podcasting place. And we got episodes dropping like bi-weekly, like every other week.
Nice. And I will have the link to that in the episode description below. And again, if you want to hear Tyler's previous episode here on the MTG and Quarantine podcast, or just any of the episodes in general, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's going to be your Google's, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I honestly don't remember. There's so many. But if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my content on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So huge round of thank yous again to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.